News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. I hope you have a wonderful weekend lined up for yourself. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you've heard about on WSJM News as of late. If we've had it in our news programming, it'll come up on Our Take, but in a more extended fashion, we have in-depth and longer conversations with the folks who are making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Coming up on today's program, we have multiple guests. We'll talk with the Berrien County Health Department. We'll have spokesperson Jillian Conrad in here to talk with us about cervical cancer and how it can be prevented, a simple way and cases can be prevented. We'll learn about that on today's edition of the program. We'll talk to the American Red Cross about their need for blood donations this time of year. That applies also to Michigan Blood, but we'll chat with the Red Cross's Todd Coleman on today's program about how you can help the Red Cross. We'll also talk to Indiana Michigan Power with a friendly little reminder, a little warning about how you can avoid being scammed, specifically a scam that popped up recently that INM sent us notice about. We'll chat with Indiana Michigan Power spokesperson Tracy Warner. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. One more thing, of course, on today's show. Because it's Friday, we'll close out the program with a discussion of the latest box office offerings. If you are anything like me, you like to go to the movies, we've got a guy here named Jacob Holmes who sees all the big blockbusters and plenty of other films. He'll come in here. He and I will talk about what's available at the cinema this weekend. There's some good ones playing at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor starting this weekend. We will learn about that. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to the Berrien County Health Department. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Friday edition of the show. We'll keep it light today because it's Friday and everyone just wants to go home for the weekend. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would have a conversation with the Berrien County Health Department. Spokesperson Jillian Conrad has come by to talk about cervical cancer and how it can be prevented. She has just a load of information there. So let's see what Jillian has to say about that. All right, we're talking with Jillian Conrad from the Berrien County Health Department. Now, I know you wanted to talk this week about human papilloma virus. Can you tell us what this is?
Sure. So it's better known as the HPV virus. This is a lot of people have heard of this, but it does stand for the human papilloma virus. And the human papilloma virus, it's actually a group of more than 200 different related viruses. Most of those are spread through sexual contact. So that's kind of how people associate the HPV virus with sexual contact. But we do know that HPV viruses are responsible for many different types of cancers, about a dozen different types of cancers, in fact. The most common of those being cervical cancer. So that's why we're talking about it this month. January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and just a really good time to remember the fact that cervical cancer is very common, but also very preventable. Because we know that HPV viruses cause a lot of the cervical cancers that are out there, it's really important to remind women to be getting regular checks, getting those cervical checks, the pap smears that they're getting at annual visits, when they're going to their gynecologist or their healthcare provider. But also the fact that there is a HPV vaccine that exists. And some people might not know this, but we have a vaccine available that actually prevents cancer. This is kind of a big deal. So something that we really want to be reminding people that exists, and really recommending to parents to ensure that their kids are getting vaccinated for the HPV vaccine and preventing possible cancer for their future.
So is the HPV vaccine something that a doctor would just normally give to somebody as the, you know, part of the their regular treatment, visits, checkups?
Yes and no. So the HPV vaccine is not currently required for school entry. There's a whole host of other vaccines that in Michigan, our state law dictates that in order to be in school, you have to have these certain vaccines. or get a waiver for those vaccines. And HPV is not currently mandated as one of those vaccines. However, it is strongly recommended by the CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics. And so that is something that most healthcare providers are recommending to parents, that they're getting that vaccine for their child. And for the vaccine to have its maximum effects and efficacy, it is recommended that that vaccine is given when preteens around the age of 11 or 12. It can be given as young as 9, but it can also be given up to the age of 21 or 26 for men and women, respectively. So if you miss it in your preteen years or in your teen years, you can get it up until your early 20s. However, like I said, it is most effective when given and in those preteen years. So a lot of parents might have some hesitancy about this because HPV is associated with sexual contact and they don't want to think about their preteens, their 11-year-olds possibly having sex. But the fact remains that the chances are they will be sexually active at some point in their future. And if a parent can provide cancer prevention through vaccine for their child, it's really in their best interest to be doing that. Even though it's hard to think about your kid having sex when they're that young, it is really important that you're giving that vaccine the maximum time to work and giving that window of protection for that child.
Is this vaccine just for girls?
No, it's for men as well. So when it first came on the market, it was for girls. And about a couple years later, I think it was 2009 or so, they came out with the fact that the vaccine could be given to boys as well. And it does prevent not just cervical cancer, but other cancers that the HPV virus can cause, penile cancers, anal cancers, those sorts of things that can affect men as well.
Okay, so this is the HPV vaccine. It could prevent all sorts of different cancers. To get it, do you just ask to get this vaccine? Do you just ask your doctor? Does the health department provide any assistance?
The health department obviously provides a whole bunch of vaccines, including the HPV vaccine. So that is something that we're happy to provide people. If they want to give us a call, they can come through our immunization clinic or our sexual health clinic, especially for a woman who might need to have an annual visit, get that pap smear, just talk with a provider about their sexual health history, be assessed for whatever other sexual health needs they might have. Sexual health clinic is a great place to do that, and they can get that HPV vaccine there as well as through our immunization clinic. So parents, if you're looking for this vaccine for your kids, definitely give us a call. You can check with your healthcare providers. Most pediatricians' offices and family physicians do have that vaccine available. And like I said, they should be giving that strong recommendation to parents for their child to receive that vaccine. But if not, feel free to give us a call and we're happy to help you out.
All right. Now, how common is HPV?
So I will say, because there's so many viruses that are within this HPV strain, you know, a lot of people can have HPV and never actually develop symptoms or health problems. It's estimated something like nearly 80 million Americans are currently infected with some type of HPV. But 9 out of 10 of those infections just go away by themselves in a number of years. It's just those kind of really high-risk strains of the virus that can cause cancer. So that HPV vaccine that's available is really targeting those high-risk strains, the ones that are cancer-causing. So HPV is something that's very prevalent. It is the most common type of sexually transmitted infection out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the majority of Americans are likely going to get it at some point in their lives. But it is important that we do what we can for prevention so that those viruses don't develop into cancer.
So if you're an adult, you can get this vaccine as well, as you mentioned.
You can, up until your early 20s. So women can get the vaccine up until age 26, and men can get the vaccine up until age 21.
Does it just mean it doesn't work after that?
Yeah, it's just not as effective after that time.
The point is, yeah, you should get it by the time you're 21 or 26.
Yes, you're supposed to get it before, you know, you're going to be sexually active, and those early teen years are definitely the time when they find it to be the most effective.
Okay.
But the vaccine in and of itself is like 97% effective against multiple different strains of the virus and cancer. So it is definitely something that is worth it.
And so HPV, can it be transmitted in some other way, or is it strictly a sexually transmitted disease?
It's mostly through sexual contact, not strictly through sexual intercourse, but other sorts of sexual activities. You can definitely get it. So I know some parents in the past have, expressed some concern, not just with the young age that this vaccine is being recommended for, but maybe some adverse effects or the effectiveness of the vaccine. So like I said, studies are showing that that vaccine is extremely effective in preventing cancer. And there are no serious safety concerns after more than a decade now of study since that vaccine was released. And we have seen a huge uptick in just the number of men and women who are actually receiving that vaccine now, as well as a drop in the number of HPV cases and cancer-related cases that we're seeing in America. So here in Berrien County, approximately 40%, close to 41% of our teen population has received the HPV vaccine, as well as about 34% of males. So this, again, like I said, it is really important because we are seeing that vaccine to be more widely accepted. More people are starting to get it. We are still kind of below state and national averages, as well as the Healthy People 2020 goal of having 80% of our teens vaccinated. So we're below that, but we're definitely on the upward tick. And this is really important because it is such an important vaccine for cancer prevention and the spread of the HPV vaccine. So,
right. Well, you know, it's being, I think, pretty short-sighted for a parent to say, oh, there's no way my child could ever possibly get this disease, and then not make sure they get that vaccine.
Yes, it is. It is kind of short-sighted. And, you know, cervical cancer is pretty awful from what I hear. It's preventable. So let's do what we can to make sure that we're preventing cancer.
Okay, that was Jillian Conrad with the Berrien County Health Department talking with us about the HPV virus, its relation to cervical cancer, and the fact that there is a vaccine that is recommended for young people so that they can avoid ever getting that terrible illness one day. We appreciate Jillian's time here on Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. And right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we will chat with the American Red Cross about their need for blood donations. They were badly hurting over this past holiday season here due to the weather. And also we'll talk to Indiana Michigan Power next segment about how you can avoid getting scammed. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we have discussed on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video News Wire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment. So when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
Video News Wire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. I am the host today. Glad to be with you. My name is Andrew Green. Plenty to discuss here for the program as we head into another weekend. Right now, I thought I would tell you about something that's happening in Detroit coming up in the next week or so. Now, earlier this week, we talked about what Michigan State Police will be up to throughout next week. They're spreading awareness about human trafficking. They're hanging around truck stops and talking with truck stop and rest stop employees as well as truckers, telling them how they can spot possible cases of human trafficking. Well, something similar sort of happening in Detroit. A $1.8 million grant has been awarded to the Detroit Police Department It's going to be put toward the hiring of 15 officers in the next 3 years just to go after human trafficking in the city of Detroit. Now, human trafficking is more common than one might think. Oftentimes, it involves someone who has been forced into prostitution, especially younger individuals. Detroit Police Chief James Craig told Michigan News Network, last year, nearly 24 people were arrested in Detroit in human trafficking cases.
A joint task force, there were 22 arrests made. We are actively working cases now.
So that's the police chief of Detroit. Detroit City Council President Brenda Jones noted the state of Michigan is second in the country for trafficking cases. Michigan State Police launching an effort at truck stops statewide next week to enlist truckers in the fight as well. Detroit City Council President Barbara Jones says she was surprised to learn Michigan's second only to Nevada in the number of human trafficking cases.
Sometimes it happens in hotels or motels or even in the neighborhoods at the house right next door to you.
So that's Detroit getting a $2 million grant, almost $2 million, $1.8 million, to hire 15 officers just to focus on human trafficking. This is something everyone could be aware of. This Michigan State Police were telling me earlier this week there are specific warning signs that someone could be the victim of human trafficking, being forced to do something they don't want to do. If that person is not free to leave or come and go as he or she wishes, if they're under 18 and providing commercial sex acts, if they're unpaid or paid very little or only paid through tips, if they work excessively long or unusual hours, if they're not familiar with the area that they're in, they owe a large debt and they have to pay it off, was recruited through false promises concerning the nature and conditions of their work. These are all signs, some examples of a mental or abnormal behavior that could be a warning sign of human trafficking. If the individual is fearful, anxious, depressed, submissive, tense, or nervous, if they exhibit unusually fearful or anxious behavior after law enforcement are brought up, if they avoid eye contact, also if they have a poor physical health, that's a sign as well. State police next week going around, not just in Michigan, but in Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois, handing out these sort of these pamphlets, these cards with the simple warning signs that anyone can recognize, in particular truckers and hotel workers. So that's what Michigan State Police have been focused on lately here in our fair state. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and it's time for our second guest of the show. The American Red Cross and Michigan Blood, for that matter, they both have had a problem lately following the holidays. They've faced a shortage in donations. That's partly because of the holidays and also due to the weather we've had this winter. So I had a conversation with the American Red Cross's Ted Coleman about this problem and what they're doing to resolve it. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Todd, so the American Red Cross has a particular need for blood right now. Tell us more.
Yeah, this January, which is National Blood Donor Month, the American Red Cross right now has an urgent need for blood and platelet donors of all blood types to help address a winter blood donation shortage. And we've certainly seen our share of severe weather. It's had a pretty big impact so far on blood donations this year, already with more than 150 blood drives forced to cancel across the country, and that's caused over 5,500 blood and platelet donations to go uncollected. So, right now we do have an urgent need. However, platelets and type O negative and B negative blood donations are critically needed right now, and when we say critically needed, they're basically being collected and being sent to our hospitals almost as fast as they're coming in right now.
All right, so which types of blood was that?
Platelets and also type O negative and B negative blood donations. And of course, type O negative is the universal blood type, so it's always in demand. That's the blood type that emergency room folks would reach for first before identifying a patient's blood type. It can be transfused into anybody. So those two, O negative and B negative in particular, are critically needed right now.
Okay, when someone makes a donation of blood to the Red Cross, where does that donation wind up? Who does the Red Cross provide blood to?
We provide blood to hospitals. We provide blood to about 2,600 hospitals and transfusion centers nationwide.
And can you give us a sense of just how low the supply got this month?
Blood and platelet donations, as soon as they're being donated, we're getting them tested, and they're going straight to our hospitals. So we always like to have a healthy supply on hand in the event of an emergency. And we're getting to the point where those donations, again, are coming in from our volunteer blood donors and being sent to the hospitals almost as soon as they are coming in. So it's a critical situation right now. And as we head now into flu season, we're not out of the winter yet. So we expect to see, fewer donors coming out during the month of January. So it's crucial that if folks have an hour to make an appointment over the next couple of weeks and make a blood donation so we can keep the supply strong.
So if someone does want to make a blood donation, what's the best way to go about it?
You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS to schedule a blood donation appointment. You can go to our website, redcrossblood.org, and we also have our Red Cross Blood Donor app. That's a free download for your smartphone, and you can schedule your donation right from the palm of your hand. You can track your lifetime donations. You can challenge family and friends to donate with you, and we like to say that puts the power to save lives right in the palm of your hand.
Okay, Todd, and the Red Cross has scheduled several blood drives around Southwest Michigan. I'll read the list here in a minute. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're just asking folks to take an hour out of their day during the month of January, which is National Blood Donor Month. If you're on the fence about donating blood, now's the perfect time to start a new tradition in your life. Maybe invite a friend or a family member to donate as well, because it is a very challenging time right now, and the severe weather has certainly set us back a little bit in the month of January. So we are hoping to collect and hoping to get back up to where we have a healthy blood supply to make sure patients in need have that life-saving blood product.
I imagine when it's like around Christmas and New Year's, the donations go down anyway.
Absolutely, they do. People get busy with the holidays, they're traveling. Again, you know, severe weather. So, I mean, blood donation often will take a backseat to all those holiday plans, you know, visiting with family and friends and all of that, which we certainly don't blame folks. But, the need for blood never takes a holiday. And, you know, that's why we do see some decline between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And, you know, here we are now already into to January, and we're seeing the same thing. But this time it's weather-related and soon to be flu-related, I'm guessing.
Okay, that was the American Red Cross's Todd Cullman telling us about the urgent need for blood they were looking at this month. Same goes for Michigan Blood. You can donate to them as well. Both fine organizations. Now, they scheduled several blood drives for the next month or so around Southwest Michigan. So here's a list. In Berrien County, there will be one on January 22nd. That is Monday. It will be at Lake Michigan Catholic High School in St. Joe from about 9 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. So they're holding a drive there on a Monday. And looking over to Van Buren County, we've got a couple here. There's one in Hartford on the 26th, which is next Friday. That's going to be at Federated Church on Red Arrow Highway in Hartford from noon to 5:45 p.m. next Friday. And then next Saturday, there's one in Bloomingdale from 8 a.m. to 1:45 p.m. That's at Bloomingdale High School next Saturday. So there's a couple of drives here. You pull up the Red Cross app, you give the Red Cross a call, you can make an appointment to donate if you would like to help out. Because remember, one blood donation can save three lives. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now, I thought we'd talk with American Electric Power, actually Indiana Michigan Power, about how you can prevent becoming the victim of a scam. Recently, they received several calls about a new sort of scam. Well, not new necessarily, but they got a bunch of reports from customers about would-be scammers contacting them via phone. I talked with the Indiana Michigan Power's Tracy Warner about that. Let's hear what he had to say about the latest activity. All right, Tracy, new phone scam, several reports this month, correct?
Yes, we have received multiple reports of this, and unfortunately this kind of scam happens, and then it seems to go away, and then it happens again. And this has struck utilities really across the country, and basically someone calls customers, just calls numbers at random probably, and tells them that their electric bill is past due and we're going to disconnect them if they don't pay right away. Sometimes they're asked for credit card numbers. Sometimes they're asked to buy a debit card and then give that number over the phone. In this particular case, they're asked to call a second number to make arrangements. And we just want to let our customers know I&M never, ever demands payment over the phone. That just doesn't happen. So if people get that kind of call, we urge them to hang up and call our customer service and let us know about it.
So this is the classic utility phone scam. Someone calls you telling you you're late on your bill. They say you're going to get your power shut off if you don't pay. Do people actually fall for these scams?
It happens from time to time.
Okay.
Although I'm rather encouraged that on the calls that have happened today, we've been told that the scammer has said, call this other number, and instead of calling the other number, they've called us to report it, which is very encouraging, and what we really encourage our other customers to do if they get a call like that.
Okay, so a scammer calls you, tells you to call them back. Don't call them. Call the I&M number instead.
Yes, and that number is 800-311 4634. We also have a new mobile app, and people, if they want to check the status of their bill right away, they can use that mobile app. And that's it. That's at iTunes for Apple users and Google for Android users.
Okay, what's the app called?
It's Indiana Michigan Power.
Okay, we're talking to Indiana Michigan Power's Tracy Warner about how to avoid getting scammed by scammers pretending to be your utility. Anything else you want to add, Tracy?
Well, it's a shame that people are out there, and will prey on other folks like this. But it appears to be a fact of life, and we just ask our customers to be wary of it. Again, if I&M will never demand payment over a phone, and so if they get a call asking that, they should be very wary of it and hang up and give us a call.
There you go, Indiana Michigan Power's Tracy Warner. Everyone should know this by now. If someone calls you pretending to be the utility, well, if someone just calls you saying they're the utility, it's probably not them, especially if they're telling you you're late on your bill and demanding immediate payment. In particular, if they're demanding immediate payment in some strange way, like through a prepaid credit card or something, just hang up on them. You're not late on your bill. Even if you are, you wouldn't get contacted like that by I&M. Call I&M yourself. Do not let this happen to you. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now it's time for a quick break here on Our Take. And when we come back, because it's Friday, I'll have our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, pop in here. He and I will chat about what you can see at the box office this weekend if you feel like going to the cinema. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around and we will be right back. Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Friday edition of the show. We're about to wrap things up here. So far in today's program, we talked with the Berrien County Health Department about HPV and cervical cancer and how you can prevent it. We talked with the American Red Cross about their need for blood donations this month. And we also chatted with Indiana Michigan Power about how you can avoid being scammed right now because it's Friday. Some people, including myself, may be thinking about going to the movies. So I've got Jacob Holmes in here. We're going to talk about what's out at the cinema right now. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. So we are in award season.
That is right. We are in the thick of award season.
Yes. And that means the best movies are all being flooded into theaters around here pretty much all at once. And we've got one of those contenders coming out at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor.
Right. This is a big one. The biggest award movie coming out this weekend is The Shape of Water. It's the new movie from Guillermo del Toro, the guy who did Pan's Labyrinth. There's too many movies to name off the top of my head.
Crimson Peak.
Yeah, Crimson Peak from last year. That wasn't one of his better reviewed ones, nor was Pacific Rim the one before that. But I thoroughly enjoyed both those movies. I'm a fan of his.
Oh, sure. I'm a big fan of Pan's Labyrinth anyway, and now The Shape of Water has got tremendous awards buzz around.
Oh, absolutely. Del Toro is winning so many awards, at least for his directing of it. This is a movie about woman it takes place in the Cold War, and it's this mute woman played by Sally Hawkins who works in this secret government lab, and she's just like a janitor or something like that.
Right.
And they bring in this sort of amphibious sea monster creature, kind of like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes,
is what this thing looks like.
It's a water monster,
right? And she cleans the lab where they keep the thing, and they form a connection. It's kind of like a take on the classic Beauty and the Beast fairy tale.
Okay,
This movie has been described as a fairy tale for adults. It is R-rated, and there are reasons for that.
I've heard.
Yes, I've heard as well. The big praise from this movie is for Sally Hawkins' performance, because she's playing this mute woman. She does not speak at all. So it's almost entirely with her emotions, her facial expressions, and that's pretty amazing. The creature is played by character actor Doug Jones, who is a frequent collaborator with Del Toro. He's worked on Pan's Labyrinth, and he's Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies, if you're a fan of those, which I am.
All right. We've got Michael Shannon as the villain.
Yes, Michael Shannon is as a villain. That's always fun. Octavia Spencer is in this as well. So you got a strong cast for this movie. So If you like Guillermo del Toro movies, you probably already made up your mind that you want to go see this.
I know I have.
Yes, I've been dying to see this for a long time, ever since I saw the trailer. But for the uninitiated, so to speak, for this movie, it's just this is one of those movies where you might want to do a little bit of research before you go into it, just so you can get an idea of like whether or not you're going to like this or not.
Right. The Shape of Water, it doesn't seem like it's necessarily a film for everyone.
Right. And to be honest, Del Toro's movies, really, he is one of those directors where it's either you love him or it's just like, it's just not for me.
I know all of his movies look very good.
Oh, he's a true visionary for sure.
Oh, yeah. I know. I saw Crimson Peak last year. The movie itself, not necessarily the greatest film, but my goodness.
It was gorgeous.
Yes.
It was a gorgeous movie.
Now, do you think this thing will go on to win Best Picture?
There's talk of it. I'm not entirely sure. It didn't win that at the Golden Globes, which...
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't. That went to 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, which we still have not gotten.
Right.
But that'll probably change soon enough. So it's probably, I'd say for the Best Picture, it's a three-way race between 3 billboards, Lady Bird, and this, The Shape of Water.
I'm going to throw Get Out in there as a possible spoiler.
That's true. That could very well happen as well.
Right.
That's really taking taking all these awards by storm.
Right. So, okay, we got The Shape of Water now playing in Benton Harbor. What else is new this weekend?
Well, first, speaking of Lady Bird, that's coming back here. It was at Benton Harbor a couple weeks ago, then it left, but now it's coming back probably to drum up some more awards buzz.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen that movie, go see it.
It is very good. We both saw it.
I highly recommend you go see that movie if you haven't, or if you want to see it again, do it. It's here again.
Might as well.
So, but as for new releases, we got a couple of action movies starring some big name actors. First off is the movie 12 Strong, which is a war movie about the first black ops missions, or special ops missions, I should say, in Afghanistan right after 9/11.
Okay. Fans of war movies ought to
right.
enjoy this.
Chris, and this movie's got a big cast as well. Chris Hemsworth is in this. He plays the main character.
Michael Shannon's in it
as well. Yeah, Michael Shannon's in this one as well. So you got a Michael Shannon double feature here. Michael Pena is in this movie, and Rob Riggle is in this as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Doesn't he really have a military background?
I think he does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty interesting career choices made by him.
Yeah, from the military to Saturday Night Live to this movie.
Well, to just
and a million other things.
Mostly comedy movies,
right.
Honestly. So there's that movie. It's produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, so that's where. So it's obviously going to be pretty well produced. Looks. So if you're into those movies, that's a good solid choice.
Could be a good choice. And what's the other one?
It's a crime action movie called Den of Thieves. It takes place in L.A. It follows these bank robbers and a division of the LAPD who are on their tail.
Mm-hmm.
This movie stars Gerard Butler as one of the law enforcement officers, and Ice Cube's son O'Shea Jackson Jr. Plays the lead in the robbers.
Okay,
I read a review of this movie. And they started it off by saying this movie is like if the producers of Den of Thieves saw the movie Heat from 95 and decided it needed a remake.
So if you like those kinds of movies, those heist crime sorts of movies, this could be for you.
Right. And it's just for movies that are still out right now, I would say if you got kids, there's not a ton out for families right now, but there is Paddington 2. I highly recommend that. We were just talking about this a little off the air, that it broke a Rotten Tomatoes record. It's now one of the best-reviewed movies of all time on that site, overpassing Toy Story 2.
So there hasn't been any jerks yet who gave it a negative score?
No, everybody has loved this movie. It's got a 100% Rotten Tomatoes score, an average rating of like 8.5 out of 10. So, and I saw it last weekend, and it really is a wonderful movie, and the first Paddington movie as well.
Right.
I think it's really funny though. Sally Hawkins is in both Paddington movies and The Shape of Water.
There you go. So really, you can't avoid either Michael Shannon or Sally Hawkins this weekend if you're at the movie.
Right. And our colleague Mike Arney took his kid to see Paddington last weekend as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And he and I were just talking how it's so refreshing to see a kid's movie out right now that is just so pure and innocent, does not have a cynical bone in its body. It's not trying to to sell you any toys or anything. I mean, except for, if anything, like a stuffed Paddington Bear, because those are a thing. But they've been those have been around for a long time. But
right, and this is, you know, Paddington the Bear. He winds up living with a family or something.
Right. That was the first movie. And then the second one is like even more adventures. But it's like I thought it was even better than the first one. And Hugh Grant is the villain in this, and he's fantastic. So if you've got kids and you need to take them out of the house, go see a movie. Go see Paddington 2. Everybody's going to love it.
Right, right. Well, it's funny you mentioned that Mike Arney went and saw this last weekend. When I was at the movies on Saturday, I ran into three people who work here. I ran into Lewis. Then I ran into Ray Gustafson. And then I bumped into Mike Arney as I was walking into my movie.
And then I came there later. I didn't see any of you guys, but all of us were at the movies.
And all of us seeing different things.
Mike and I saw Paddington, but okay. the rest of us saw different things.
I saw Molly's Game on a Saturday, and I would recommend it.
Yeah, I think it's only down to one showtime here at Benton Harbor now, because it's not done well at the box office. I'm not really sure why that is, because it's got the star power of Jessica Chastain. It's got Aaron Sorkin's name on it. He wrote and directed it.
Chris O'Dowd is in it, which I enjoy.
Yeah, that was so. I was a little curious that it's not doing so well.
Oh, well.
And I don't think it's gonna. I think they were hoping it would get some awards buzz, but that's not really happening.
No, it wasn't good enough to justify that, but it was an enjoyable movie. And I can tell you, Jessica Chastain is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Oh, okay, that should be interesting.
So, final recommendation for this weekend. What would you advise people to see?
Well, I'm personally going to see The Shape of Water. If you're wanting to check off something off your awards movie list, go see The Shape of Water or Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. And for the families, I would say Paddington.
Right. I would. I'll be at Shape of Water. If it doesn't meet your taste, if you're not into that kind of thing, I would say check out Lady Bird. And that Star Wars movie is still out, right?
Yeah, it's kind of waning down now. It's funny, Jumanji has been at the top of the box office for a few weeks now.
I almost saw that last weekend.
I saw it when it first came out. It was all right. It's one of those movies that's like a good. It's a good like matinee movie. It's just kind of in one ear out the other, but it's fun.
Great. Well, you've got lots of good options this weekend at the box office here in Benton Harbor. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. That does it for another edition of the show. I've been the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email at ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You have a fantastic and very safe weekend.